up, Shoreline? Hey, everyone. My name is Will McElroy. I am the Shoreline Men's Coordinator. And I'm so excited to be with you guys tonight and continue our series, I'm Glad You Asked, where we answer common questions from curious students. And tonight's question that we are going to be answering is, what's the big deal about gossip? And so I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of gossip, but the first thing that comes to my mind are magazines like this, right? Maybe you've seen them in checkout lines at grocery stores. They're the tabloid magazines. And this one right here, I bought this today at a CVS, and it says, Harry and Meghan, it's over, right? It's talking about the royal family, how they left the royal family and that they got pushed out, that they were forced out of the royal family. Well, this magazine is saying, no, they just left for the clout. They left. They didn't get pushed out. They left because they wanted to get more famous and more views and just more clout from it. And whenever I get in the checkout line, whenever I see these magazines, I think to myself, who buys this stuff? This thing was $5. Who spends $5? Who gets fooled into buying this junk? Who actually cares about what's happening? And then, you know, as I leave the store today, as I'm leaving the store thinking about that, I'm thinking, you know, I think I buy it. And I don't mean literally. I'm not buying these magazines all the time. But what I mean is, I can promise you that a couple weeks ago during the Kim and Kanye stuff, I promise you, I went to Kanye's Instagram to see what he was posting about Kim. Or maybe in life, I love it when people say, hey, have you heard about this? And I'm saying, tell me more. I want to just eat it up. I'm buying it. I'm just saying, tell me more. Tell me more. And so you may not literally be buying gossip, but I think most of us in this room are consuming it every day. In fact, I read a study while I was preparing for this message that said the average person spends 52 minutes a day gossiping. And this is male and female. So that's the average person spends almost an hour of their day talking about others, gossiping. And I think the problem is, if we went around this room, we would know that gossip is a sin, right? Like, from a pretty early age, I figured out why gossiping was bad. You see, here's a personal story where gossiping affected me in a negative way. I was at a basketball game. I was probably 14 years old, and it was me and my friends. We were up in the stands, and we were chatting, right? Me and some of my buddies, we were chatting about one of the guys that was on the court. And I remember I was just talking trash about this guy that wasn't even there. He was playing in the game, and I was just talking trash about him. And my friends, they weren't really responding, which was unlike them. And so I didn't really know what was up, but I just kept going in on this guy. I just kept gossiping and trying to say more and more negative and hurtful things about this guy. And then my friends started to nudge me. It was like they were kind of trying to get me to stop a little bit, but I've never really been a guy to take a hint. And so I just kept going in more and more on this guy. And I just was trying to say the most hurtful thing I could. And maybe you already know where I'm going with this. But what ended up happening after a few minutes of me just gossiping about him, the couple in front of us stood up. And they just turned around and Dad looks at us and he says, hey, that's our son. And then they just walk off. And I never saw them again. And look, I know that you've probably done something like that, or maybe you've been on the receiving end of something like that, or maybe you've screenshotted a text message, right? This is a common one. You screenshot a text message, send it to a friend, but you realize you sent it to the wrong friend. We all gossip, and we've all seen the pain gossip causes, and I think what is so problematic is that we all know gossip is a sin, yet none of us are bothered by it. And so tonight, I think the biggest thing we could get out of this night is for us to start to be a little bothered by our gossip, to be a little bothered by that 1 hour a day that we spend talking about others. And so let me lay out what I want to do tonight. The first thing I want to do tonight is I want to define what gossip is, because I think a lot of us, including myself, I don't really even know how to recognize gossip, right? Because sometimes we call it venting. Sometimes we call it processing, or sometimes we even say, hey, I don't want to gossip, but, and then you end up gossiping. And so we're going to define gossip So that way you know how to recognize it. And then I want to ask three questions and try to answer them. And I think these three questions will help us understand a biblical framework around gossip. And so the first question we're going to ask is this: why does gossip feel so good? Then we're going to ask, why is gossip so hurtful? And the last question we'll answer is, how do we fight gossip? So we're going to do a definition and those three questions. So let's go. The definition. My definition of gossip, I try to make it just as simple and clear as I could. And this is what I came up with. Gossip is any hurtful or unhelpful information shared about someone who is not present. Let me say it again more slowly. Gossip is any hurtful or unhelpful information shared about someone who is not present. So notice what I did not say there. I did not say that gossip is any untrue information. Gossip is any rumors that are hurtful, because here's the reality. Sometimes gossip can be true, and I think a lot of the times what I do is I'm saying, I'm just sharing the facts, right? So it's not gossip because I know it's true. But here's the reality. Gossip may or may not be true, but it is always hurtful. And so that's our definition tonight. If you're saying any hurtful or unhelpful information about someone who is not present, you are a gossiper. And so now that we're all on the same page, now that we're all on the same playing field, let's dive into our questions. Why does gossip feel so good? Well, the Bible tells us. In Proverbs 18:8, it says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. And so I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of morsels, but I think of sweets, like candy, right? And gossip is like candy. You just cannot consume enough of it. And in fact, our brains, I'm not a doctor, but there's a part of our brain that doctors call our reward center. And that reward center triggers whenever you get in a relationship, when you get a good grade on a test, or when you eat sweets like chocolate, and it also triggers when you gossip. When you hear information that is as secretive and confidential, the reward center of your brain lights up, which just causes us to want more and more of it. But let me tell you what happens. I used to be a nanny. A manny is what I called myself. I used to be a manny for some 8 and 12-year-old boys. And I remember my first day on the job, I remember going to the parents and saying, hey, what can these boys eat, you know, after school? Like, I'm sure they want some snacks. Are they healthy? Like, what kind of dietary restrictions do we have? And she said, just don't let them go crazy. My mom said, just don't let them go crazy. And so I remember the first week, maybe my second or third day on the job, I took them to Brahms. And I said, get whatever you wanted. I wanted to be the cool nanny, right? I said, get whatever you want. And so they load up on their ice cream. They put that down. And then we get home. And then they go straight to the pantry. They get their chocolate chip muffins. And I'm like, hey, slow down, guys. But, you know, I didn't really want to be the bad cop. So they just kept eating and eating. And then they got into the chocolate. And I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh, this is what she said not to do. Don't let them go crazy. They're going crazy. Right? And then after they eat, after they engorge themselves, they're saying, let's go play football, Will. Can you throw the football? And I say, yeah, let's go play football. And we go to the park and I start throwing the football, and it's a warm day, right? And after just a few minutes of throwing the football, they're sick. They're throwing up, right? And they are left feeling empty. Those sweets that they could not resist ended up making them feel empty. And so we gossip because it tastes good. Gossip promises to taste good. And I can promise you that when you gossip, or if you hear gossip, you're going to like it. You're going to like it in that moment because we're sinners, but it is going to leave you feeling empty and sick. The next reason I think we gossip is because it makes us interesting. It makes you feel like you belong. If you're in the know, that means you can be in that group text that people can come up to you and say, hey, did you hear about this? And you can respond back and say, yeah, I did hear. In fact, I bet you haven't heard this. And you can add on to it, and you can feel interesting and in the know. And while that is true, While gossip will make you interesting in the know, for it will only do that for a short amount of time. Because here's the problem. You will only be interesting as long as your gossip is interesting. The second you run out of gossip, the second you run out of something to talk about, you're left with nothing. Or even worse, maybe one day you will become the gossip. What's going to happen when you become the gossip, when you become what people are talking about? So here's what I would say in response to that. If you want to belong, if you want to belong to something, it's not about what you know, but it's about who knows you. It's about who you are known by. Look at Galatians 2:20 with me, right here. If you want to belong, I would encourage you to turn to this verse. It says, My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so I would say this, if you want to belong to Christ, be known by Christ. And there is nothing that can take you away from the love of Christ. If you believe that Christ came and died for your sins, then you belong to him and he belongs to you, and there's nothing that can separate you from that. And it gets even better from there. Because when you become a part of Christ, when you have a relationship with Christ, you have the opportunity to join his church, his body. And let me tell you something. I'm not only known by Christ, but I'm known by people at this church. Every week, I get together with several guys who know everything about me. And in fact, I gossip about myself every week with these guys. I tell them, I'm like, hey, do you guys know? Do you know what I did this week? Do you know what I said to my wife? Can you believe I did this? And I get the opportunity to be known by them. And that bond between us, me and these guys, is so deep because they know me. I belong to community with them because we all together belong to Christ. And so the reason we gossip is because it tastes good. It makes us feel interesting. And those will fail you. And I think the last reason, or one of the last reasons we gossip, is because it makes us feel powerful and righteous. Look, this may not apply to you, but I think one way I gossip right now, and I do it to compare myself, to make myself look better. For example, if someone I know who's having some, you know, financial troubles, this has been something recently for me, I know they're having financial troubles, and let's say that person goes and buy a new car. I'm tempted to go to my friends or my wife and say, can you believe so-and-so bought a new car? They're in debt. How'd they afford that? And what I'm really trying to say is saying, hey, I can't believe they did that, and that's something I would never have done. And I know that example doesn't apply to you, but here's one that I think may work, is saying, hey, did you hear he got a new girlfriend? It's a total rebound. Or did you hear she got another boyfriend? She cannot go without a boyfriend. She's always had a boyfriend since middle school. And I think what you're really saying there, I think what you're really trying to do is you're trying to validate your decisions and make your decisions feel better in that moment. So why do we gossip? We gossip because it feels good. We gossip because it makes us interesting. We gossip because it makes us feel powerful. Gossip will tell you so many lies. For example, gossip says, I am in control. And this is the opposite of the gospel, right? Because the gospel says God is in control. Gossip says I have influence, but the gospel says only God has influence. Gossip says I am powerful, but the gospel says I am weak. Because without Christ, when I'm apart from Christ, I am nothing. It doesn't matter what I know. It doesn't matter what rumor I've heard, but I am weak. There is nothing that can give me power apart from Christ. And so we gossip. We gossip because it tastes good, because it makes us interesting, and it makes us powerful and righteous in comparison. But these will all leave you feeling empty and wanting more. And so that's the first question, is why does gossip feel so good? And now the second question is, why is gossip hurtful? And look, I was tempted when I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, do I even need to answer why it is hurtful? Because I think we could go around from person to person to person in this room, and all of us could share a story of how we've hurt others with gossip or how gossip has hurt us. But the reason I need to answer this question is because the world, these magazines, they're spending millions of dollars a year to sell you gossip. And they're spending millions to try to make gossip okay. And I have 20 minutes with you tonight to convince you that that is not right. That gossip is hurtful. I was looking at, the first thing I did when I was preparing for this message is I went onto Google and I said, why is gossip bad? And that's just behind the scenes of how I prepare for things. I looked at, why is gossip bad? And I found a Times Magazine article, and I said, they're gonna give me the facts, right? They're gonna give me the facts. I'm gonna have some good statistics to give you guys. Well, I was shocked, which I shouldn't have been, because these are the people that they sell gossip for a living. They're a magazine. But they had a psychologist in this article that the psychologist was saying, gossip, while it has some downsides, overall, it is good for us. Overall, gossip is good for us because it proves that we are socially evolved and socially advanced and that it helps us warn others about each other. And so again, the world is trying to sell you gossip to make it okay, even though they know that it is hurtful. And the reason it is hurtful is because it is sinful. Look at Romans 1:29. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. The Bible lumps in gossip in the same category as murder, greed, hate. I think the reason that gossip is so hurtful in the eyes of God, that it's so just sinful and a blatant disrespect towards God, is because of Proverbs 16:28, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. There is nothing that God hates more than seeing his people divided. I had a best friend, he's still my best friend to this day, but we hit a couple years where we were divided, and it probably started, we became friends in middle school. And around eighth grade, and I'm telling you guys, this was my best friend. Like, he was my neighbor. We went to, we would ride bikes, you know, classic childhood. We'd get Dairy Queen together all summer long. And then one day I found out that he started dating this girl. I didn't really know this girl, but I did know something, that someone came and told me a rumor about him and his girlfriend. And from that moment on, the second I heard the rumor, I told myself, I can no longer be friends with him. I didn't even know if it was true, but what I should have done is I should have gone to my friend and said, hey, I heard this. I don't know if it's true. If so, I'd love to care and correct you, but can you just tell me if what they said is true? I didn't do that. Instead, he would text me. He said, hey, you want to hang out? You want to ride bikes? And I would just say, respond 6 hours later and say, sorry, I didn't see that. I would just ignore him. I would just spend less time talking to him in class. All because of one rumor I heard that was not even true. So gossip separates the best of friends. I know people that they've had eating disorders start from gossip. They've had body image, other insecurities that all started from a rumor. It divides friends, separates friends. I remember there was a girl in my school that 7th, 8th grade, she just was gone one day. She was gone 2 days, gone 3 days. And finally I asked someone, what happened to her? Is she sick? They said, no, she transferred schools. Why? She couldn't take the gossip. She couldn't take the rumors about herself. Let me tell you what gossip does. more than anything. I think gossip says more about you than it says about anyone else. If you're gossiping, it says more about you than anyone else. Look at Proverbs 25:10. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never, never regain your reputation. A gossip goes telling secrets. A gossip goes sharing information, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. If you are trustworthy, if you can keep a secret, keep information confidential, you will be trustworthy. But I will tell you this, if you want to lose someone's trust, if you want to be considered untrustworthy, the fastest way to do it is to start gossiping. So why is gossip so hurtful? Gossip is so hurtful because gossip divides friends, it breaks trust, and ruins reputation. So we have looked at why gossip feels so good. We have looked at why is it so hurtful. And I think some of you may, I hope you're asking the question, well, how can we stop it? How do we fight gossip? When you ask that question, I want you to go to Proverbs 26:20. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. I grew up in a town west of Fort Worth called Weatherford, Texas, and if you go a little further from there, another hour from there, then you'll start to see a lot of trees that were they're black because they were burnt about 10 years ago in a forest fire. And so there was a forest fire when I was growing up in Weatherford, and I remember watching the news. And I remember watching how they fought forest fires. And one way they fight them is by, of course, dropping water on the fires. But another, and perhaps a more effective way, is to take bulldozers and tractors and to clear out a ring around the wildfire. And so what they do is they try to clear out as much of the trees, the brush, and the grass. So that way when the fire reaches that ring, all there is dirt. There is nothing left to burn. And in the same way, the Bible promises us if we remove ourselves from gossip, if we remove the wood from the fire, that gossip will cease. And so it takes two people to gossip. It takes someone giving it and someone receiving it. And you may be sitting here tonight and thinking, well, I don't gossip that much. And I would just ask you, it says, do you allow it? Do you allow it? Because if you allow it, you're just watching the fire. And so, I remember at the start of this message, I talked about how we call gossip a lot of different things. Venting, processing. I don't want to gossip, but... And so just to help you understand gossip and to help you recognize gossip and to help you learn how to fight gossip, I want to ask some questions tonight. So that way, when you're talking with friends, with families, whoever, that way you can ask these questions to yourself to help you determine, is this gossip or not? Here's the first question. Are you talking about the issues of others more than your own? If so, it's probably gossip. Is the conversation intended to be productive and to build one another up? If it's not, then it's gossip. Are you enjoying sharing or receiving the information? Does it produce joy in you? Does it taste good when you're giving it out? If so, it is probably gossip. Is your tone humble and meek, or do you feel proud and righteous in comparison? If so, it's probably gossip. Are you talking to God about this certain person as much as you are talking to your friends? If you're not, it's probably gossip. So if you're not praying for this person that you're talking about, if you're not talking to God and asking him for discernment around the situation, and instead you're just going straight to your friends and sharing with them, you're probably gossiping. And the last question, and I think this one may be the more most important and useful one in my life. And it says this: do the people you share information with need to know? Here's what I would say. If the person is not a part of the problem, then they are not a part of the solution. So if the person is not a part of the problem, then they're not a part of the solution. They don't need to know. If they didn't help create the problem that's happening, if they didn't help create the drama, then they don't need to know. And if you're telling them, then it is gossip. And so what does that look like practically, Will? What does that look like when I'm at school and I hear someone gossiping? Well, I'd love to tell you what we do here at Watermark. And this is, I don't necessarily recommend this, but I just want to give you an example of what we do. And we call it the 24-hour rule. So this is the rule. If someone comes up to me and they're gossiping, they come up to me and they say, hey, did you know? And I kind of run these questions through my mind and I'm like, this feels like gossip. And they start telling me, then I would tell that person, I would say, hey, I'm going to give you 24 hours one day to go talk to that person you're gossiping about. And if you haven't talked to them, because your conflict's with them, if you haven't talked with them, then I am going to take you with me and we're going to go to that person together. So for example, let's say Kaylee Pinkerton, let's say she comes into my office and she says, Will, did you know Jermaine, our boss, did you know, can you believe he said this and he texted that? What, can you believe? I would tell Kaylee, I would say, hey, Kaylee, because I care for you, because I love this place, and I want to protect this place, then I'm going to give you 24 hours to go talk to Jermaine about that. And if she hasn't after 24 hours, then I would go with her, and we'd go talk to him together. And I know what you're thinking, Will, that I cannot do that at school. And I'm not necessarily recommending you to do that. I know it could be weird to go just in the cafeteria. 24 hours, man. You got 24 hours. And so here is what I would say. Here's what I would say maybe instead. Here's a real example of someone who I thought they did this excellently, and it just, Christ was glorified in the moment. When I was in high school, I think I was a junior in high school, and we were on the bus to a cross-country meet. And me and some friends, once again, I'm kind of the common denominator here. We were gossiping, right? Me and some friends, we were gossiping. And we were just going in on someone. I don't remember what we were saying, but we were just talking about some guy, and it was inappropriate, hurtful, and unhelpful. And there was a guy, his name was Asa, and he was in the seat in front of us, and he wasn't a part of the conversation, but he was overhearing it. And after a few minutes of us gossiping, Asa, he got up, he turned around, and he said, hey, we're done talking about this. This conversation's done. And then he turned around and sat back down. And guess what? We were done talking about that. And now you may be thinking, I bet Asa was weird. I bet Asa was like the sweaty Christian, right? Asa was the homecoming king. He was the most respected guy in his class. Everyone loved and respected Asa because he stood up for what he believed in. And so I'm telling you right now that you may become the weird person if you stand up for what is right. But I would tell you, and I think Asa would stand here today and say, it is worth it. Because he has been crucified with Christ. And he says, I don't care what people think of me. It is worth it. And I will tell you, the reality is you probably won't be the weird guy. And it would be worth it if you were, but that probably won't happen. In fact, I think you will become more respected and loved by others. And so, as we close, I want to tell you guys, because we can't just remove gossip. We need to replace it with something. And so as we close, I want to read this verse. And this may be the most powerful verse we read tonight. Ephesians 4:29, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear him. And so remember how I started? Remember what I said, how I said, I think gossip is the thing that we all know is a sin, but that none of us are bothered by it. I think we're bothered by it because we think that our words, they don't carry any weight. We're not convinced our words carry no weight. We're not convinced our words hurt people. And I would say this, people are listening to your words. God is listening to your words. And you remember the story I started with, the basketball story? That kid's father was listening. That kid's father was listening, and he turned around and he said, "That's my son you're talking about." And I think in the same way, when we gossip, God is looking at us and he's saying, "That's my son. That's my son you're talking about. That's my daughter you're talking about. And you had no right to share that information." And I think the worst thing about this is that God will try to warn us. If you're a believer, he will try to convict you and with his Holy Spirit and try to stop you from gossiping. Because remember, just like my friends in the same way, they tried to nudge me. They tried to give me hints. They were saying, "Will, stop. You're going to make a fool out of yourself." And I think the same way, when I've been tempted to gossip, I feel God's Spirit saying, "Will, stop. Please stop. You're going to hurt others and you're going to hurt me." But the Holy Spirit, I think he's humble. He'll let you go, shh, shh. And he'll let you gossip. And he will let you make a fool out of yourself. So as we end tonight, I want to give you a challenge. I want tomorrow at school for you to challenge yourself with Ephesians 4:29, where it says, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." I want you to try that tomorrow. Try to go one day at school tomorrow without talking about anyone who's not there. I think it will be harder than you think it is, but you can do it by the grace of God. You can do it. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for this time together, and I thank you so much that you've given us the opportunity to encourage and love others with our words, and I pray that we do not take that for granted, and we do not abuse that privilege by gossiping and slandering your children, God, because we know that gossip, that our words, they have the potential to not only hurt others, but to hurt you and to separate ourselves from you. And I pray, God, that we listen to your Spirit. When you warn us before we gossip, God, that we listen, and that instead of gossiping, that we replace those words with love and encouragement, and that whoever hears our words, that they are encouraged by them, God. We love you, and we pray. Amen.